Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime.
Welcome to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with our buddy Thad Brown. Thad, thanks for coming in from WROC-TV in Rochester, sports director. Thanks for coming over. You've been doing the sideline thing for me on TV.
Just trying to follow your quality example.
There you go. Murph is out for the rest of the week. Thad's going to be in here for today. We're going to talk about the Buffalo Bills and all the stuff that's going on. We got a Twitter poll. We got Matthew Chatham is coming on, who wrote an interesting article about the AFC East and quarterbacks and how they sit, Tom Brady being the old man and everybody else being second-year guys. A lot of fun stuff going on. We've got the NBA draft is tonight. We could chit-chat about a little bit. First of all, how was traffic coming over from Rochester?
Not bad. It was raining pretty bad in Rochester. I was surprised, actually, how dry it is in Buffalo on the drive down. Rochester is
how dry
underwater.
It is in Buffalo?
Relatively, let me tell you.
I drove through a rainstorm to get here today.
Well, you must have drove in much earlier than I did.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was dry by the time. It was raining, but not that bad.
I would say I'm an early riser, but I might get struck by lightning.
I mean, we have this deal in Rochester where Lake Ontario is as high as it's ever been. And where I live close to the bay, Irondequoit Bay, and I drive by a low spot
city,
every day.
Right?
Yeah, north east part of the city.
I know what you mean. There's a little road that goes across
that's
kind of raised almost.
Yeah, right? And so you drive over the bay, and I drive it every day, going to work, going wherever. And the bay now has gotten to the point where it's almost onto the road. And I can't ever remember being this high. 2 years ago, it was pretty bad. And we can get it. This would be a political show. This is the IJC 2014 commission about raising lake levels. But this is, the rain not stopping this spring
and this
summer.
They're doing it on purpose.
Well, again, I don't know if we want to get into it. I know it. I haven't followed it. I don't have a take on it. I'm just telling you that when I drive down this road every day, I check to see how high the water is, how close it is to the road.
Do you have an alternate route? Can you go around?
I do have another way I can go. It's higher. There's a bigger bridge, but this is the more convenient way. And,
right.
Because of the newsy part of it, I find it fascinating to see, well, where's the water today? And today it was pouring, and I assume this is going to make the water even, that much higher going
Well, that's
the next
the way it
days.
Works. More water means that water.
It's shockingly
right?
how it goes, yeah.
My fluid dynamics course in college tells me that. Did you know there was a fluid dynamics course?
I'm surprised you took it, frankly.
I didn't. I'm lying.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's the thing. You talk about all the residents, and there's people here in Buffalo, the Niagara water, the Niagara River, they're, they got houses that are getting damaged, and how homeowners are. I'm one of them. They're doing it on purpose.
Yeah,
people
feel like in Rochester too, the homeowners on the coastline, they feel like that they are. I don't know if they probably feel like they're doing it on purpose, but at the very least, they feel like that their interests are not being respected in the way the lake level is being monitored. And
right.
The thing that we're doing in local news almost every day now is showing video of erosion. There are trees that are falling off coastlines. There are, coastlines that are this different. And when you're talking about, groups of mounds of dirt that are 5-10 feet high, you take this much off a coastline, that's a big bleeping deal.
Well, yeah, plus, pretty soon you're going to have houses sliding in.
Yeah, that's the
right?
concern.
That's it.
I mean, that's a worst case scenario, but it's more than that. There are people who live on particular streets, one that, Brian Giantha, who was just in the studio, knows and lives and has family there, who are, basements underwater, pumping water out on a regular basis. And, again, you just reminded, the rain has been weird this year. It's just not stopping.
Well, okay, so if there's a good reason for it, I get it. I mean, let's hear it.
The good reason for it is, all right, number one, it's allegedly to help wildlife, natural wildlife. Remember, the lake isn't just Rochester, Buffalo. It's also Toronto, Hamilton, Ontario. It borders both sides. So somewhere in that whole realm, there is wildlife or natural habitats they're trying to protect. In addition, apparently it helps shipping, having all the things come down the St. Lawrence River.
Right, I get it. Heavier ships.
Exactly, right. So I don't know exactly how much or the details of all that, but that is the argument for what has happened to all these, you know, homeowners.
Shipping and wildlife.
Primarily, yeah. And again, well, you know, the other part of it too is if you take water away from the Rochester Buffalo half of it, then it's got to go somewhere else. Now it's going to go to the northern border. And then those homeowners allegedly, theoretically, have problems.
Well, couldn't they, if they're going to do this, couldn't they just give you, like, hey, in a decade, it's going to happen, period, whether you like it or not. Fix your homes up now. You got 10 years to do it. It's happening. Thank you very much. Get it done. And then we're not going to apologize for it. And then do it.
It would have made more sense to do it that way. The way it worked out, it's called the 2014 Commission because that's when the...
Okay, 14. We're in the fifth year.
Right. Well, that's when the rule was decided that this commission would have more control, and I'm almost a layperson version of this, of water levels. The actual having that power, making that happen, I don't think went into effect until like 2016. So then the next spring, 2017, we had a huge wet spring in Rochester. Right, I'm assuming Buffalo too. So you had not 10 years, you might have had 10 months to prepare for the possible effects of this. Nature's a part of this too. I mean, it's been crazy wet this spring and two springs ago in Rochester.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve Tasch along with Thad Brown. We're on One Bills Live. We're talking, just getting things started here on a busy day for us. Not so much in the NFL. It's kind of the downtime, right? They kind of turn the lights out and everybody goes to
everything,
goes to the beach. Oh, yeah.
Including John Murphy.
Exactly. And good for him too, by the way. But we're going to have a Twitter. We have a Twitter poll, and I have a hard time finding it because I'm sitting in the adult chair today. And Murph is not here. So the Twitter poll is this. It is, and we're going to have to wait for him. You got to put it up on the screen so I can read it. So
I got a hand here. Here we go.
The Twitter poll. Okay, here it is. Which of the Buffalo Bills player will make their first Pro Bowl in 2019? Right now, 61% of the respondents say 61% say Tre'Davious White. 15% say Tremaine Edmonds. 13% say Josh Allen, and only 11% say Jerry Hughes. I will say this about the entire list: Jerry Hughes, Tre'Davious White, Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds. And of course, if you want, you can tweet at us or call in and have your own name. You could be anybody else on the roster as well. Jerry Hughes was probably the most highly regarded on that list last year defensively for the Bills. He was more highly regarded as a pass rusher than Tre'Davious was as a corner. And Tre'Davious, you know, is still playing extremely high at an extremely high level. Jerry Hughes was like number two overall in the entire league at edge rushing last year. He was consistently getting pressure. He didn't get a huge number of sacks, but he was forcing a lot of throws on a very good defense. So Jerry Hughes probably has as good a chance of being recognized for that as anybody on that list.
I think those lists, they come down to stats. You know, defensive ends need to have sacks. Defensive backs need to have interceptions. And, you know, Jerry Hughes, you're right. His film was fantastic last year. He was constantly in the backfield. He just wasn't getting home as much as you'd think. It's almost like a batter who, you know, you look at batting average on balls in play. Sometimes you just hit balls right at guys, and even if you're hitting the ball well, you're not getting base hits. And by a similar way, Jerry Hughes was getting to the backfield. He was getting pressure. He played – his run defense in the last two or three years has gone from passable, we'll live with it because he's a great pass rusher, to he's got to be one of the best in the league in playing the edge, setting the edge, you know, causing problems against the run. But those aren't stats. Those aren't things that get you noticed from a Pro Bowl point of view. I think this year with Ed Oliver, you know, you might see more concentration when it comes to other teams pass protecting in the middle, which could open up things to the outside.
All right. So we're talking about that. Which one of the Buffalo Bills players is going to make his first Pro Bowl this year? We're also going to have Matt Chatham on the program, and he is he's kind of all over the map a little bit. He's a huge Boston Bruins fan. He also wrote an article, so he's all over the St. Louis Blues win over the Bruins in the Stanley Cup Finals. He wrote an article about Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and of course, and them sitting in the same division with Tom Brady in the AFC East. He also has ask him the question about whether the Bills are ready to compete in the AFC East. The Patriots Super Bowl window, he doesn't think their window's closing anytime soon. He thinks it's wide open. If you haven't seen Twitter or social media lately, Tom Brady is now throwing the ball around in the offseason with Josh Gordon, who is suspended indefinitely by the National Football League, although he's a member of technically a member of the Patriots roster. N'Keal Harry was also just taken by the Patriots in the first round. Gronkowski's retired. All this Patriots stuff's going on. And Matt Chatham was also, if you don't remember, he was a former Patriot player, and he covered the Patriots. He writes for The Athletic. So that's one of the reasons we're having him on the program today. We also got some stuff to talk about, the NBA draft. We got NFL True False. We're going to have a conversation. You brought this up as a good one about the officiating. Murph and I go on and on about what the officiating, the state of officiating, the rule changes that are always prevalent every offseason in the NFL. And you brought this thing up about officiating kind of worldwide, let alone United States-wide, and some of the kind of the crisis the mm-hmm. officiating industry's in.
Kevin Seifert wrote the article from ESPN, tweeted it out yesterday. Now, I'll tell you what, I actually disagree with some of the points he's making, but the overall point of view is that you go to any high school game, any youth game. There was video from ABC News yesterday about a 7-year-old baseball game that descended into a brawl among parents. And the whole experience, the atmosphere around youth and scholastic sports, the tension level just continues to rise. And, you know, when it comes to officiating, there are a lot of scholastic districts out there in states that are having trouble keeping officials because guys just don't want to go out and make $40 a night to get yelled at by 500 parents.
And drive 2 hours both ways to do it.
Exactly, yeah. So, and the point of this article, you know, is to look at one specific cause, in this case, video replay, and try and figure out how much of a connection there is between the advanced replay in every single sport. It seems like every year some league is adding another level, adding another layer, the NFL this year with pass interference, and what kind of an effect that's having on the just atmosphere of officiating and how we treat it, how we respect it, or more often, how we don't respect
it. Certainly those guys don't ever get it right, but here's the thing. As soon as a bad call is made, automatically as a parent, you're thinking, man, that guy wants the other team to win, or he's got something in from – it's all about – and it's really not true. And you talk about the 7-year-old baseball team. Nobody's going to major leagues tomorrow. This is just one season. It's one game in one season. It's one call in one game. Come on. You got to learn to take a step back. Mm-hmm. And this level of anxiety and tension that parents have towards their kids playing sports is out of control. And I've seen it, and I've been as much a victim of it as I was one of those guys that had a lot of emotion when I watched my kids play. And you had to learn to temper it. I mean, I'm famous for getting thrown out of my last game, right?
Yes.
So, almost
you can't really throw stones.
Right. Yeah, I can't throw stones at anybody. But the simple fact of the matter is you got, parents who get wrapped up in it and they think it's somehow a reflection of their own parenting. If their kid's not good at sports, it's another level of this that comes out in this article we'll get to later on is everybody's got a cell phone, they start recording mm-hmm. it, you know?
And that's there was an example that was brought up about how a kid was suspended from a wrestling tournament.
In Wisconsin,
because, and you might have seen this story, this has been out for a while, he committed a violation and then committed a second one. It's kind of like getting two technical fouls, you
right.
get ejected. In this state rules, if you get two of these violations, you're suspended for the next match. Well, the next match was the state final. So the kid took video that showed that maybe his violation wasn't as bad as it was thought, took it to court, not to the governing body.
Oh, yeah, took it to court.
Took it to court, and a judge actually forced him back into the championship. He won the state championship, and the governing body is appealing.
They stayed the decision because whatever.
The court found that the violation wasn't as bad as
because
it was
Because the violation was that if you violate it and you get thrown out of the match, you're also suspended for one match.
Right.
And the next match was the state final. He would not have been able to defend. He was the defending state titleist. Well, he goes on, wins the state title, and now they're appealing everything. Now they're going to strip – if a kid is found, which he probably will, they're going to strip him of the state title.
We could have a whole discussion on whether or not courts
it's crazy.
Belong in sports governing right now. But the point of the article is does the advancements we've made in video, and especially using it to correct rules, to correct incorrect calls in games, has it hurt more than it's helped? And, these are maybe not direct examples, but, this is a situation where a kid had a piece of cell phone video and is now using it to overturn a call that, 15, maybe even 10 years ago would not even have been a discussion because we don't have the technology for that.
Right, right. So we're talking about all this. We're going to get more into this officiating later on in the show. We also have the Twitter poll, if you haven't heard, which Buffalo Bill will have their first Pro Bowl season. You can go online, check that out, and vote for the one of your choice or pick one of your own, tweet at us or call in. And we'll talk to you about that. We also have one thing. Murph and I spent the entire day yesterday. We had this this Twitter poll about realignment. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that came to me, and Murph was kicking and screaming about it because, you know, he didn't, you know, because it's not going to happen. They're not going to realign. But I thought, you know, what if? What if they did realign?
I love this idea.
And for what reasons would they realign? My idea was that, particularly given the fact that there's 32 owners you have to convince them, and who's going to convince them? Well, who's? I'll tell you who's going to convince them. It would be TV. Mm-hmm. And here are the here's the realignment as it would happen in television. If the TV people had their way, this is how they would realign the league. And this is one of the ideas you want to talk about as well, because I find it fascinating about who you would play and who you wouldn't play. And what it comes down to is the divisions would go one. There's eight divisions. They would go one through eight. You can call them whatever you want, east, west, north, south, AFC, NFC, whatever, and you could align and do it however you wanted. But it would be strictly by television market, the size of it. The top division number one, if you will, I'm saying that, I'm not ranking them, I'm just going down the list from top to bottom.
The biggest market division.
Right, you could do them in reverse order. So, well, let's just do that. So we won't step on any toes. We'll go division number eight would be the Jets and Giants in the same division with the Rams and Chargers.
New York and L.A.
Right, New York and L.A. And twice a year, the Giants would play the Jets at home, and then the Jets would play the Giants at home. So they would have a home-and-home series in the same stadium, and it would be New York against New York. But it would also be twice a year, four times a year, actually. It would be Giants against the Chargers-Rams at home, and then they'd be on the road. And then vice versa with the Jets. So you'd have those four teams, L.A. and New York, would be playing each other as division rivals eight times a year. You'd have eight games in New York and L.A., and you could pick and choose which ones you wanted on primetime or anything like that.
From a TV point of view, this would be like gold. I mean, having these games, the two biggest markets, having them involved in eight games out of the season, I mean, this is – no matter what the records are. You know, you could play these games week four, and it would be among the top-rated, most interested games in the NFL. I think the thing that Buffalo fans would not like to hear is that – and you can use the NFC East – as an example of that, because the current teams in the East right now, Philly, the Giants, Washington, and Dallas, are all pretty big markets. Well, they're on Sunday Night Football all the time.
Right.
This division would have a Sunday Night Football game every other
week. Yeah, they'd be in prime time a lot. And here's another one. Here's the next division, if you're wondering what it would be. So it'd be the Jets, Giants, and the Rams, Chargers in whatever division you want to call it.
The expensive division.
In the expensive division. Yeah. In the supreme division, or whatever you want
to call
it.
That's fine. I like that.
The premium division, whatever you want to call it, would be Chicago Bears, Philly, Dallas and Washington. That's just like the NFC East now, except without the Giants.
Right, replacing them with Chicago. It'd be almost the same thing. It'd feel the same. It would feel so similar. Even that you could play this division because the travel isn't that much out of whack. I mean, Chicago's not that far from the other cities.
Right. So that's the next one. It would be Bears, Eagles, Cowboys, Washington. Then the sixth division would be Houston, San Francisco, and San Francisco and Oakland, and then
the Patriots.
But the Raiders are out of there because they're moving to Vegas, which moves them out of this.
So you want to go the 2020 version of these market divisions?
Yes, the 2020.
Okay, so we'll take the Raiders out.
So the Houston, San Francisco, Boston, and Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good division.
And again, you know, I said right off the top there that you'd have the New York-LA division on Sunday Night Football all the time. You may not, because you've got all these other matchups in these top three divisions. But again, from a Buffalo point of view, if you're not in, you know, the premium division, the supreme division, or the giant extra large division, you're not getting on primetime football. You know, you're going to be playing Thursday night games forever.
Right, but these teams would be playing each other.
It'd be fascinating.
And they'd play out of conference divisions. They'd play out of conference, out of division games as well. These are just the eight division games.
You would have a Chicago-Philly or a Niners-Patriots. You'd have something every week. That would be the primetime game.
Okay, then the next division, so it's Houston, San Francisco, Boston, Atlanta. The fifth division would be Tampa, Phoenix, Seattle, and Detroit. Tampa, Phoenix, Seattle, and Detroit. That's probably the one that's the biggest mix-up from where you'd have Tampa Bay playing Seattle from corner to corner of the country, and Detroit in the top northeast, and, of course, Arizona. That would be the four corners division.
Pretty much.
Right?
But you can notice now how the market size would change. I mean, you go from, you know, Boston, Houston, or Atlanta, San Francisco to Tampa,
Arizona.
Detroit. You know, exactly. Arizona, now, Detroit.
Seattle's an enormous city.
For sure.
But Phoenix has got Tempe, Scottsdale, and all that right there as well.
If you're playing this long term, you know, if we're talking 15 years down the road when John Schneider's gone, when Pete Carroll's gone, Russell Wilson's gone, Seattle is not a draw anymore. So this team becomes – this almost becomes like the first semi-forgotten division.
Right. Okay. So then you got that was the fifth. All right. The fourth one.
Right now we're on five.
Which is – I don't know. This is impossible to follow if on radio some, but here it is. The fourth division is Minneapolis, the Vikings, the Dolphins, the Broncos, and – hold on.
It would be
Cleveland.
Yep.
The Browns. So it'd be the Browns, Dolphins, Broncos, and Vikings.
I actually like this division better than the previous one, better than the Cardinals, Seahawks, Lions one. You'd have, I mean, Miami, Denver could, I mean, that could become a rivalry. Those are two teams that historically have been pretty successful and are, you know, have big enough fan bases that they could be attractive to a primetime television, you know, situation. So I like this division better. This is the fifth largest one.
And it's pretty good. It's a pretty good division as well. The next division would be the Charlotte
Panthers. Oh, this is actually a fun division.
Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens, and Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
That's kind of an old-time division.
It's funny that we keep the Ravens and Steelers together. They cannot get away from each other no matter what we do.
And the Titans are still back into the division where they used to play the Ravens all the time in
back
the playoffs.
Back in the Houston Oilers days.
Houston Oilers days. So that's a pretty good division with the Panthers, Steelers, Ravens, and Titans. And then you've got Indianapolis.
Colts, Chiefs.
No. Colts, Chiefs.
Bengals.
Cincy.
And then the Raiders, Las Vegas.
And then, it would be...
Right?
Right, it could be, or it would be the Packers because they get the Milwaukee market.
We'd have to... That would be a discussion.
That's a discussion.
Yeah.
Do you get the Raiders into that one, or do you put the Raiders into the bottom one? Colts, Chiefs, Cincinnati, and then the next market is Milwaukee, which claims the Packers.
I know they do. They don't play there anymore. They used to play
there.
They
don't. They don't play there.
Did you ever play in County Stadium? You played?
Oh, yeah. I played there. They had the sidelines were on the same side of the field.
Really?
The benches were on the same side of the field.
How unusual is that? I mean,
very.
I mean, there's still the same amount of people that travel for the most part, right? How do you fit two?
So here's the question. Do you put the Packers in that with the Bengals and stuff with Milwaukee? If you do, then it's the Packers, Bengals, Chiefs, and Colts.
Let's do that.
All right, let's do that. Packers, Bengals, Chiefs, and Colts. And the final division, the number one division,
that's right,
would be the Las Vegas Raiders. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville Jaguars, Buffalo Bills, Green Bay Packers. You got two northern teams. Or no, it would be
the Saints.
The Saints.
We put the Packers in the Packers division.
The Saints. New Orleans and Jacksonville in a division with Buffalo and the Raiders.
From someone who covers the Bills 16 games a year, I'd love a trip to Las Vegas every season.
Well, think about New Orleans.
And that would be that's the party division.
See that right? That's we're all about it.
That's right.
Be the yeah.
Where can we make this happen?
Here's the thing, and here's why this is interesting. This is strictly for TV.
Yeah,
strictly for TV. This has nothing to do with AFC, NFC, West, East, historical rivalries, geographic rivalries and all that. And my contention is the rivalries go – I mean, the rivalries come and go anyway. Yeah, the Bears and Packers are playing. Wow, it's important to those two teams. For everybody else, it's like
– right.
Right?
Right.
So what you need is, you know, teams that play for something that means something. So that's why you realign like this.
I would like to see this idea in Major League Baseball because there's a sport where financial means really can make a difference in – terms
they don't
of
share
success.
Enough revenue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you put a division where it's Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, Angels, Boston.
Right.
And you have, we're going to let you have two playoff teams out of that. And you give an opportunity for, you could have another division with Minnesota, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and, I don't know, Colorado, to where, all right, now that group that doesn't have a chance of spending with the big New Yorks and LAs of the world will have a playoff team every year. And you even get into the playoffs and, we're going to have the small market versus big market divisional round to see who actually had the better team this year. Right. I'd be fascinated. But this is the most original realignment idea I've heard in a long time. Most people stick to, you know, geography or rivalries or something
like
that.
Well, the way we got on it was inspired by a guy saying, hey, let's make it the least travel for every team. Mm-hmm. And that's how he got to his. Yesterday we had him on and it was okay, you know, but if you're going to do it for the money.
I'm telling you, the TV markets would drool over those first three divisions.
Right. You're with One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Thad Brown in today. He's the WROC-TV sports director out of Rochester. He does the sidelines for the Bills preseason. Looking forward to that, too, by
Absolutely.
The way, working together again. I got a text today from Andrew Catalan. He's
ready to go?
Yeah, he's staying at the crib. He's staying at my house. I said staying at the crib. That's like 1990s. He's staying at my house when he comes in to do the games. And look, we're looking forward to hanging out a little
bit. Do you guys do that regularly, or is that a new thing this year?
No, he's been doing it for a while.
Okay.
The problem is he's been doing the PGA golf tournament the first couple of weeks of the preseason. Now they moved the PGA tournament. Now you can do all four.
Right.
With the exception of now the Detroit game is going to be a CBS game, national game. So
you're going to get that anyway?
No, we're
CBS?
Not. No. Yeah, here's the thing. I got we'll get into the problems I have with this preseason schedule in a minute. But Thad Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live. We're going to come back and join us. You can chime in if you want at 803-0550 or 888-552-550. Which Buffalo Bills player is going to go to their first Pro Bowl this season? Tre'Davious White, Jerry Hughes, Josh Allen, or Tremaine Edmonds? Take your pick or pick a different one. Give us a call if you want. We're going to be here till 3 o'clock. We're just getting started. Thad Brown, Steve Tasker. You're listening to Buffalo Bills Radio, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Thad Brown in for Murph today. I'm hosting the show, so we're bouncing around a little bit like a ping pong ball. So kind of hang in there.
Nothing wrong with that.
We got a Twitter poll that you can chime in on. Which Buffalo Bill player is going to go to his first Pro Bowl this season? We've got you can choose between Tre'Davious White, Tremaine Edmonds, Jerry Hughes, Josh Allen. Take your pick or call us and let us know some other name that you want to get. We've got some people chiming in already. Dad, what's
start with the Bills monster. Trey White will easily make it this year. He should have made it twice already, but he isn't well known due to being on a non-competitive team. And I think look, Bills monster's got a point there. A lot of these guys, you get in, one of three ways. Either you have just an unbelievable, spectacular season, you play for a team that's won 10, 11, 12 games, gone to the playoffs, or you've been to the Pro Bowl the last 5 years and you just keep getting in. Guys named Pouncey get in that way. Eric Weddle, maybe to a lesser degree. So Trey White doesn't qualify in any of those three categories yet. He's got there's a lot of good corners in the AFC. I mean, Xavien Howard just signed a big contract. Denzel Ward is young in Cleveland. So, there is competition there. To be honest, of this poll, I would probably vote for Tremaine Edmonds just because I think there's a guy that can take a big jump in year two. I don't think we saw, 80% of what that guy can do. And I don't think there's the competition at that position that there might be at corner. Josh Allen at quarterback, how is he making a Pro Bowl over Tom Brady or Mahomes or Ben Roethlisberger in the short term at least?
That's exactly right. And that's what you got to look at kind of at the position. Corner's a premier position. Tre'Davious White knocked it out of the water as a rookie on a playoff team and didn't make it.
Right.
And then last year the team took a step backward. But the defense played statistically better.
Yeah, you would have thought that there would have been more chances last year than 2017. Yeah. Micah Hyde went his first year with the Bills in 2017, the year they made the playoffs. But now you got to, if you're looking at safety, not that this is part of the poll because Hyde's been there before, but you can make an argument for Jordan Poyer getting her first Pro Bowl bid.
Well, you can, people can vote for him.
Right.
But
safety, you got Jamal Adams with the Jets and Derwin James. If those two guys are healthy, they're probably going the next 6 to 8 years just because of who they are and what they've done already.
The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Those guys are going to be busy getting them over to training camp, which you'll be at. It starts in a couple of weeks. But the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems from Brian Cook. He tweets in, call me a homer, but I think there's a chance all four make it. In order from best to worst chance, I would say Allen's the best, White second, Hughes, Edmonds. I give the nod to Allen because most quarterbacks selected will be in the playoffs. That's how Tyrod got his Pro Bowl bid.
I think he's got that pull that list upside down. Frankly,
he might. Yeah.
I mean,
Josh Allen's got to jump over some guys who are perennial Pro Bowl players and who could get automatic votes.
He could get in if you want to. The way Tyrod got in is because 17 guys didn't want to play, you know, and then Tyrod got in that way. He wasn't voted
That's
in,
right.
You know. So if we're talking about that, then sure, Allen has a
Josh
good year.
Josh Allen has to have a year like Pat Mahomes did last year to get in.
To get in, to be voted in, for sure. You got to talk about, you know, 40, 50 total touchdowns. Maybe not 50, but 40 total touchdowns, win 10, 11 games, go deep in the playoffs.
He's got to play better than everybody else. He's got to have an MVP type of year, don't you think?
Well, especially considering he's got, with Mahomes and Brady.
Well, think of the lineup he's got to crack.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, I don't think right this second, most people think he's the second best quarterback in his division. You know, I think people would probably put Sam Darnold half a notch in front of Josh Allen right this second. And we're not even talking about Baker Mayfield or Andrew Luck or Phillip Rivers or Derek Carr if he rebounds. So, you know, there's so many guys to compete at quarterback. And, you know, again, you know, guys who've been there year after year continue to go year after year.
Yeah. So you've been covering the Bills since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
You've watched a lot of guys go to and from the Pro Bowl. You started when they started going to training camp. Have you looked at the training camp schedule yet?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What do you think?
Shorter. I mean, shorter. I wasn't surprised.
Do you think everybody's doomsayers.
Mm-hmm.
Is there writing on the wall about training camp in Rochester?
Let me give the...
Just between... We don't know.
The devil's advocate point of view. When this new regime came in with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, the contract at Fisher was up. They had an opportunity to make a clean break. They could have said, you know, we've got a new coach. He prefers to stay in the new facility. You know, the contract's up. We've appreciated our time at Fisher. We love our Rochester fans. But we think it's time to move it to Orchard Park. And they didn't. They signed five more years.
Right.
You know, and at every turn... Especially Kim Pegula and Terry Pegula have professed their interest and desire to stay in Rochester. So based on those two things, I don't know if what everybody says and what seems to be happening around the league will happen with the Bills. And I don't think this year's schedule, being about a week shorter, is necessarily a smoking gun indication that'll happen. Because the reason the camp is shorter this year is the Bills are doing joint practices with the Panthers. If the preseason schedule had laid out with Carolina that game 1 week later, then I think we have a full camp like we had the last 2 years, and they do the joint practices following that.
Yeah, interestingly enough, too, they may, with this new facility, by the way, have you checked it out?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Okay, yeah. So stuff like that makes me think, like, there are less and less there's less and less of a need to take this training camp somewhere else to have the things happen that you want to happen, that a team needs to happen. Basically, one thing they're missing at this campus that they have at St. John Fisher is housing.
Right.
That's it.
You have the opportunity to take a team away from their environment. And one thing I talked to, I don't remember who it was last year, one of the veterans, might have been Andre Holmes last year. And the thing that you do get about having a camp an hour and a half away, and I don't know if Fredonia for you was the same thing, but these guys talk about the fact when you're gone, you're gone. There's no, you know, how getting the kids to school. There's no getting people to activities. There's
could you
no.
Stop, could you stop by? And,
exactly. Yeah, grab milk on the way home. There's no mother-in-law's coming over tonight. All that stuff is out. It's just football. And there is a benefit to that. Now, does it trump the ability to use these Taj Mahal-like facilities that they have, you know, right behind us here in Orchard Park? I don't know. But, you know, the other thing I told you this before, Sean McDermott has only done camp this way his whole career. Eagles, Panthers, Bills. Every camp he's done for 2, 3, 4 weeks, he goes to a college an hour and change away, and they start camp that way. So, you know, coaches are creatures of habit. I know McDermott seems to be giving an indication that maybe he's thinking about following the league trend and bringing it back here, but this is the only thing he knows so far.
The minute they think that it'll win more games staying here is
that they'll do it.
Is the minute that it happens, yeah. Thad Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live. You can give us a call if you'd like to join in on the conversation. Which Buffalo Bill is going to have their first Pro Bowl season this year? 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. We're also talking about officiating, and we're going to get into that big time. We've also got Matt Chatham, former Patriot linebacker, writes for The Athletic. He's going to come on at 1 o'clock today and talk about what's going on in New England, a lot of changes. And, you know, for a lot of teams, the Patriots seem to operate in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff that happened, they got maybe a Hall of Fame guy in Rob Gronkowski retiring. They lose this guy. They got a guy suspended in Josh Gordon. Tom Brady doesn't show up for the OTAs. They got, you know, all this stuff going on. Most teams would be a dumpster fire if all that stuff.
It would look that way, yep.
And for the Patriots, like, oh, yeah, that's another Patriot offseason,
mm-hmm.
You know?
When you're the Patriots in a league now where there's such an emphasis on quarterback play and coaching, and you go into every game with a Hall of Famer in both spots, with an advantage, a significant advantage in a lot of ways in both spots, it makes up for any of the other garbage you want to have. Who the offensive line is, what the tight end, you know, did on Instagram during the week, you know, who the defensive back likes or dislikes. When you come in, you know, with that, you know, advantage, a quarterback and head coach, it makes everything so much easier. And, you know, in Buffalo and with the Jets and the Dolphins, they've been trying to play catch up, especially those two positions, for so long, and it helps to keep New England on top.
Yeah, it does. And one of the other things that we've been talking about is the officiating. This there's a new rule that just came out, a new news from the National Football League posted. This is posted by Mike Florio this morning, just a few minutes ago. The league's posted an announcement on social media that the competition committee today unanimously recommended the rule approved in March for instant replay of pass interference is going to remain in effect for the 2019 season only. So it's only going to be for this season. But the unanimously recommended rule to approve of being able to replay pass interference, the judgment call, they're going to keep it in for 2019.
And the big news from that is the automatic review of any call in the last 2 minutes is going to be applied to this rule too. You know, last 2 minutes of a half, if there's a score, a turnover, any of those plays, you don't have to challenge it. The guys up in the booth will just call for it themselves. There was a debate and a concern about, well, if we do this with pass interference and you got a team running a two-minute drill late, are we going to stop every single play? Because you could make an argument there's pass interference or what looks like it all the time. And yeah, the thought was, let's just make coaches challenge, but instead they're going to allow the booth guys to, you know, initiate a review if they want to in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, the fact that automatic review will be available for pass interference calls and non-calls in the final 2 minutes under normal circumstances, and specifically and most importantly, in the final 2 minutes of either half. So it's going to happen automatically in the final 2 minutes of either half from upstairs. It's not going to have to come from the coaches. So the replay official is going to stop the game after the two-minute warning of each half and during timeout, and he's going to say, hey, it's time now to go. All the challenges and reviews are from upstairs. And when there's clear and obvious evidence that pass interference foul may or may not have occurred based on viewing the play live or in initial replays, the stoppage is going to happen. Stricter criteria than for other reviewable plays to prevent excessive game stoppages. So they're going to have to, that to me is a little bit of a gray area.
Oh, it's going to look, there's going to be disasters with this. This is going to be a very difficult adjustment for the NFL to make.
The same standard for all reviews. This is wholly dependent on the video angles shown by the broadcast networks.
It's going to be the same thing as they do with most other reviews. The difference is where, you know, with a do you cross the goal line or did that guy step out of bounds, there's a I think there's an understanding of where, you know, something looks questionable. With pass interference, I mean, you know, watch a receiver and a defensive back on almost every play in the NFL. You can, that looks like pass interference. That might be pass interference.
The replay judge is going to be like Hail Marys. The player is going to be reviewed, and it's going to be reviewed with the same parameters that the officials on the field use. So they're not going to have any extra ticky-tack stuff, consistent with the guidelines for officiating the play on the field. That's how they're going to do the Hail Mary plays and the desperation plays at the end of the games and pass interference and the reviews.
I am a pro review guy. I want to get it right. I want to get it right as much as possible. But this just feels like an overreaction, and many other people have said this, to what happened with the Saints and the Rams last year. And it's almost like I thought the NFL did a good job with introducing replay over the years. It was just turnover, just scoring plays, then just turnovers. Then, you know, the catch rule obviously was a mess, but it wasn't like we jumped into the deep end with this all right at once. They're doing that with pass interference. And it may end up 5-10 years down the road to be an improvement for how the league is officiated. But for this season, there are going to be disasters. There are going to be people screaming about pace of game, whether or not things need to be get reviewed, the flow of the game. And you will hear the NFL, you know, taken to the woodshed about this rule on more than one occasion.
Yeah, and they, you know, it's Pandora's box a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a slippery slope because you're going to go down, and they have never in the history of the game called bang bang plays where it's such an instantaneous occurrence at the contact before or after the ball reaches a receiver that if it happens, if the ball gets there and then the defender hits, fine. But if he gets there and through replay and you catch a still shot or one frame that shows he hits him 2 inches before the ball gets there,
that will be pass interference.
That's
by
pass
rule.
Interference by rule.
I'm actually more worried about the other end of it. You know, when you talk about guys that can have some contact about whether or not a ball's in the air, now you're going to have a review to figure out, all right, if the quarterback's here and I've got contact, is that pass interference?
Right, right.
But now is it here? And now I got the contact, the ball's this far out of his hand. Well, now it's a whole different call because right. The ball's been released.
That's right.
And you're going to have to come up with two angles that can show the quarterback at the same time as the contact 50 yards down the field. There's all, like you said, Pandora's box. This will be a big problem for the NFL at some point, probably at many points during this season.
I had a brief stint in that arena last year when they did the kickoff rule at the Summit in New York. Mm-hmm. They had like 50 people in the room, and they were former players. It wasn't just me. It was a bunch of former players, former officials, league officials, a couple of head coaches, two or three head coaches were in the room, and, of course, the competition committee and about eight special teams coaches, mm-hmm. coordinators. And they were all talking about it. And the thing, the overriding concern for the entire room and the guys who had been there before was like, listen, what are the unintended consequences? Mm-hmm. Murph and I talk about it a lot, you know, that the rule of unintended consequences. When you start down this road, there's going to be decisions and circumstances down the line that contradict what you're trying to do or go way too far. Mm-hmm. Than what you were trying to do, that it opens up another opportunity here to say, now we got no idea what to do.
I think this rule has the biggest bag of unintended consequences of anything the NFL has done replay-wise prior to this.
All right, you're with Steve Tasker and Thad Brown. We're in for One Bills Live. We're going to take a break right here. We're going to come back at the top of the hour. Matt Chatham from the Athletic covers the Boston sports scene is going to be on with us as well. We're going to take your phone calls, and we got a Twitter poll as well. So come back and join us. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Thad Brown. We're talking about the Buffalo Bills, and we were talking about realignment a little bit. We just end up talking about
pass interference.
Oh, the pass interference
change,
and the
yeah.
replay. We're talking a little bit about that. That's the ongoing topic. We also have Matt Chatham coming up at 1 o'clock. He's going to talk about the New England Patriots and the Boston sports scene. What are they doing in the offseason? But we're not unaware that there are other sports going on. The NBA has its draft tonight. What do you think about it? Are you going to watch that draft tonight?
I watched a little bit of it. As a Sixers fan, I was dialed into this maybe 2-3 years ago for 4 years in a row. It's interesting enough. And even this year, you know, I think everybody knows who the first three picks are going to be. It's going to be Zion to New Orleans, number one. Memphis is going to take Ja Morant, probably. And then the Knicks are probably going to take R.J. Barrett. And then it's, you know, now that the Pelicans have the fourth pick, too, after the Anthony Davis trade, what do they do? Do they flip it for more stuff? Do they spend it on a guy? But even with all that being known, and I think we haven't had three picks pretty much set in this draft for a few years, it's still fascinating to see, you know, the moving and shaking, because, you know, in the NFL draft, you go maybe 30, 40 picks, and these are guys that are instant impact guys. In the NBA, you might be out of impact guys after 4 or 5.
Right.
I mean, you know, the comparison is the round two of the NFL starts like at pick 6 in the NBA. So what do? These teams are, you know, flipping stuff to create cap room. It's not about, you know, you think 10th pick overall, I'm going to get a guy there and it's going to change my team. You know, you might be using that to, again, create cap room, open up space or something else. It's not the same draft, and it makes it fascinating for all of us who follow the NFL draft.
Do they? And I read an article, it was written by Kevin Arnovitz, and he maintains that, listen, the NBA is a little different kind of animal. It's time for that draft to completely go away. Because here's what you're up against. You say, wait, all the great guys are going to go to L.A. Well, there's still a salary cap in place. So it's not like L.A. can afford Zion Williamson because he could play. He'd make three times the money going to Charlotte or Milwaukee or whoever. You know, you pick the team. And Golden State couldn't afford him.
Right.
Oklahoma, OKC couldn't afford him. You know, they've got some problems in some of these teams financially that these, it would make the water shallow, while it would still give these young guys a chance to pick where they want to work. And that, let's face it, sports is the only industry where a kid coming out of college can't pick where he works.
It's patently unfair. You know, all of us had a chance to, apply where we wanted to go, determine what city we at least hope to live in, in my job and the one you're in now to maybe a little bit of a lesser extent. It's hard to be able to determine what place you want to work. But, most of us, doctors, teachers, lawyers, if you want to live in Boston, you can. If you want to live in South Dakota, you can. In the NBA and the NFL, you can't. You go where you're drafted. The fascinating part of this, where you're kind of starting to sway me, is the idea of, Charlotte might have a great shot at Zion because they've got a max contract slot open to pay, Zion, where the Lakers don't right now, right. Where a lot of teams don't right now. So could, Charlotte theoretically sign Zion, Ja Morant, and RJ Barrett and just say, hey, we're going to go with the 2019 draft class as our core.
Right. And it could happen. Mm-hmm. And it could happen to any of these teams. And it would also take the thought of tanking out of the equation.
That's
every team would have to be doing whatever it took to win and win now and win this season and show that they're committed to winning so that the next crop of draft picks comes out and says, okay, they really want to get it done. And, they can make their choices based on that. So, and that does change. That is a paradigm shift, no question about it. Everything changes when you throw the draft out and give these guys a choice.
I think the NBA is probably the first league where you could do it for all the points that you raised because there aren't as many guys picked because, there aren't
rosters
as many
are
guys.
Short.
Exactly. You wouldn't have to worry about filling out a team. I wonder what the rules would be. Would Zion have to play under a rookie contract? Because he's going to make less as a rookie than, Jimmy Butler or Kemba Walker is going to make as a veteran guy. So if you're still playing under those rules, now you're, all right, you're limiting what he can make, but you're probably making it a little easier. The Lakers could sign him under that, qualification,
right,
because he's going to make less money. It would be fascinating to see how it plays out.
I think
out.
You got to take that off of it because these guys, because you can't hinder the teams from getting the guys they want to pay for. The same thing would apply to the teams. Now, they do have a budget, a set budget they can spend because of the fairness of everything considered, because they do share some revenue. And once you do that, then you got to say, okay, everybody spends the same amount, but you got to pick the guys. You got to find out who they are and then, make your budget, basically, and see who you can do it. Plus, right now, Zion Williams is going to get drafted tonight. 7 years later, he gets to choose where he goes. Mm-hmm. 7 years, come on, man.
And even then, he's choosing a spot. If he goes somewhere else, he's making less than where he is now because of the way the NBA structures its contracts. You can always make more to stay. I think the concern you talked about unintended consequences earlier, the long-term play of this for me would be, let's say that Charlotte does the thing we make the argument of, that they sign Zion and RJ Barrett and Ja Morant. Let's say two of those three guys are busts. Now you're stuck with paying these guys, all this money, you have no future. No other rookie would ever come to you because you're already locked into these contracts with two guys who are terrible.
You got
to
get it right.
Well, right. I mean, but boy, you get one swing and then that's it if we're playing it this way.
All right, we got two more hours to go. We're coming up on the top of the hour. We're going to have Matt Chatham in, a former linebacker, three-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots coming on. Thad Brown, Steve Tasker. This is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.